Hello, and welcome to episode number 12 of the Point of Convergence podcast. As always, I am your host, Exoacademian. In the long-running history of the UFO phenomenon, numerous aspects of encounters with these others stretch our imaginations to the breaking point, pushing the outer limits of our capacity to even conceive of technologies that could accomplish what our eyes and other senses are telling us we're apparently witnessing. In terms of the demonstration of evidently advanced technology, the craft controlled by this supposedly non-human intelligence makes maneuvers that are not only death-defying, but that break our very notions of how physics works. Engineers and aviation experts tell us that not only do we not have vehicles that can perform like this, but that we can't really even presently conceive of how such feats could be accomplished, even theoretically. Add to the mix that reports suggest a direct consciousness link between pilot and craft is key to the operation of these vehicles, and our understanding is stretched even further. Teleportation is another apparent feature on display with these craft. In other words, not only do witnesses, including trained expert military witnesses, see these UFOs/UAPs racing across the sky at breakneck speeds, making 90-degree turns on a dime without even slowing, but witnesses have also reported seeing craft, even massive mothership types the size of a football stadium, suddenly materialize before their eyes, out of nowhere, and they can apparently disappear, dematerialize, just as quickly and completely. And the wizardry on display by these others doesn't stop with the demonstration of their external technology. They also readily demonstrate an ability to interact with us directly, mind to mind, that is equally baffling. Not only can they seemingly control our very perceptions to the point that we can no longer trust the output generated by our brains to be an accurate depiction of what's actually out there, but despite clear species and vast cultural differences, they seem able to effortlessly communicate with us telepathically, bypassing the need for language translation altogether. Furthermore, not only is the means of their communication almost always telepathic in nature, but this direct telepathic communication seems to come across at a much broader bandwidth than typical human communication, meaning the entire nuanced emotional content of a thought is shared, seemingly instantaneously. And even more startlingly, the human beings being contacted find that they can communicate back through the same telepathic means, just as easily. Somewhat disconcertingly to some, even when one chooses not to share a thought, one's thinking and feeling seems still to be laid bare to these others. In other words, they can seemingly read our minds and hearts, as it were. Furthermore, and even more discombobulatingly, they seem to have knowledge of every figment of our lives, and not only in its present state, but going back into the distant past, as well as the distant future. But how? How is all of this accomplished? How are we to make sense of this? Figures like Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the sixth man to walk on the moon, and Dr. Rudy Shield, an astrophysicist at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, have led the way in engaging in these matters, advancing some intriguing possibilities. And the fascinating new conceptions around the nature of the intelligence behind the UFO phenomenon, postulated by Mitchell, Shield, and others, is the topic of this, the 12th episode of the Point of Convergence podcast. To begin this podcast, I'd like to remind us of the astronomical numbers we're dealing with here, with this topic. And I don't just mean in terms of space, the size of the universe, which likely leads to other universes, a multiverse, but also time. On previous episodes of this podcast, I've reminded us that we've gone from technology like a horse and buggy to a spacecraft in the period of about 100 years. And our entire species has only been around for, depending on which estimates you listen to, 50, 75, maybe 100,000 years at the most. So try to imagine a civilization that could be hundreds of thousands of years beyond us, even millions of years beyond us. I mean, can you even realistically wrap your imagination around what technology would look like for a civilization millions of years older than ours, considering that our entire species, from caveman to spaceman, is only about 100,000 years at the most? What would millions of years of advanced civilization yield? Well, it's even more imagination straining than that, because according to Dr. Rudy Shield, quote, "It's almost a certainty that civilizations that may be a billion or more years older than ours exist." I mean, honestly, your response to that figure should be a gaping mouth and a blank stare. It's certainly my response, because our imagination simply cannot go there. We can't conceive of a civilization a billion years or more advanced than ours. It's just a blank slate. And this is a perfectly apt point to be reminded of Arthur C. Clarke's famous saying, quote, "Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic," unquote. And this would be a good point to remind ourselves of the kind of categories that historically people have placed these others into. Some people have called them angels, others demons. And of course, we have religious texts that depict beings in the sky, sky gods and whatnot, that are often called angels and demons, but may actually be the same phenomenon we observe today. And we have to remember the worldview in which those categories were created. It was a worldview where there was a simple structure to reality. There were humans and animals on the earth, and in the heavens above, God and his angels, and below, demons and Satan himself. We find a similar structure as to reality in many shamanic cultures that also involved three levels of reality: the higher, the middle, and the lower worlds. But again, we're reminded of Arthur C. Clarke's quote about advanced civilization and its technology appearing like magic to a lesser civilization. And again, thinking about those vast numbers we discussed earlier, the possibility of there being civilizations billions of years more advanced than us. Well, at that point, even what we call technology, that concept would basically collapse, that both the inner and outer capacity, capabilities of these beings would be so advanced that we wouldn't even consider it technology. It would look like magic. And here I would remind us all of the episode I did on spiral dynamics, when we discussed the different consciousness levels currently present on the Earth. If you remember, the most advanced level, the turquoise level, was described as exploring reality with mind and spirit. Now, these beings would certainly be doing that, but to a much heightened degree. Now, later in this episode, we'll discuss Rudy Shield's notion of a cosmic intelligence, not only connecting this universe and its beings, but all universes in the multiverse. Well, I believe it's obvious, in fact, that these beings would be closer to this central intelligence behind the universe. They would be much more advanced spiritually in that sense than us, as well as their technology being so advanced that we don't even recognize it as technology. So they would be advanced in mind and spirit to the point where even those separate categories likely collapse. So clearly, there are civilizations that exist that are dealing with reality in a league far beyond our own. That said, while we're clearly not on their level yet, not even close, new revelations, especially coming from experimental results in the studies of the quantum level of reality, reveal some exciting and truly mind-bending possibilities to explore. In the introduction to this podcast, I mentioned the figure of Dr. Edgar Mitchell. Well, not only was he the sixth man to walk on the moon, which gave him a completely different perspective on the world, on the Earth, on consciousness, but he was also a pioneer, a trailblazer, like Dr. Mack that we discussed last week, in terms of understanding and exploring consciousness and astronomy and how it all worked together, how human beings may be in contact with extraterrestrial and interdimensional sources. And today I'd like to touch on a paper he wrote along with Robert Staretz called The Quantum Hologram and the Nature of Consciousness. This was a pioneering paper, clearly ahead of its time. And I want to quote from the abstract at the beginning of the paper. Quote, "We present a new model of information processing in nature called the quantum hologram, which we believe is supported by strong evidence. This evidence suggests that QH is also a model that describes the basis for consciousness. It explains how living organisms know and use whatever information they know and utilize. It elevates the role of information in nature to the same fundamental status as that of matter and energy. We speculate that QH seems to be nature's built-in vast information storage and retrieval mechanism, and one that has been used since the beginning of time. This would promote QH as a theory, which is a basis for explaining how the whole of creation learns, self-corrects, and evolves as a self-organizing, interconnected, holistic system." Unquote. And now I'd like to go to another part of the article that gives a bit more specifics as to the nature of this model. Quote, "Our quantum hologram model seems to explain many effects, including aspects of mind, memory, stream of consciousness, various factors including health, psychic events, Jung's collective unconscious, the Akashic record, and other phenomena that arise out of the resonance with the quantum hologram residing in the zero-point field. Before the discovery of quantum holography, we had no mechanism to model or account for these phenomena, let alone for information transfers between objects that these effects imply." Unquote. Now, in case you're lost, we should back up for a moment and give a bit of a history lesson. I don't want to get too far into the weeds of astrophysics, but as a background, we found when we studied black holes that there was a conundrum we came to, where it seemed like information was being destroyed, and that seemed to violate one of the laws of the universe. Eventually, it was postulated that the information going into a black hole is stored on the rim of a black hole in a 2D nature rather than 3D. And from here, people extrapolated out and said, wait a second, perhaps our entire universe is actually a hologram. And at the edges of the universe is a 2D representation that can be depicted as 3D. And for the beings inside the universe, it would look 3D, it would look real. But it's actually the extrapolation of a 2D model held at the edges of the universe. So what's basically being postulated here is in the 2D representation of the universe, at a quantum level, you have a representation of all information. Not just things like matter and energy, the physical structure of the universe, but also all conscious information. In other words, the memories, the feelings, the thoughts of every being, every conscious sentient being that's ever existed in the cosmos. And this relates to the historical notion of the Akashic records. And here again, I'd like to quote from the Mitchell paper. Quote, "Finally, there is the Akashic record, which was developed in the Sanskrit and ancient Indian culture. It is described as an all-pervasive foundation that contains not only all knowledge of the human experience, but also the entire history of the universe. Our normal five senses cannot access this information, but it can be accessed through spiritual practices such as meditation. In the last few years, Laszlo, 2004, has also been promoting a theory he has named the A-field, which contains many aspects that are also very similar to the concepts described in this paper. All these concepts imply a mechanism very similar to our description of quantum hologram." Unquote. Now, an interesting implication of this paper by Mitchell is that there's actually something called a spectrum of quantum hologram resonance. And this basically postulates that every structure in the universe, from something like an atom, to a meteor, to a human being, to a gray alien resonates with this quantum hologram to different degrees. And as you move along the different levels of resonance, you increase your capacities. And this is now getting to the point where we discuss what an advanced civilization would be able to resonate with and therefore have access to, have control of. And in this paper, there's a graph, a diagram that depicts this evolving structure of resonance. So this is somewhat similar to the spiral dynamics theory we discussed a few episodes ago. Here, this is the spectrum of quantum hologram resonance. It begins with very basic, simple awareness. The most basic structures have that awareness. A plant, for instance, has certain awareness about itself and how to sustain itself. From there, you move to memory, and then to instinct, which is species-specific. And then you develop capacities like empathy, and then intuition. And then you have the notion of things like cultural conditioning that arise in, for instance, human civilization, and the development of a collective unconscious. From there, you move on to telepathy, remote viewing, remote healing, telekinesis, out-of-body experiences. These are all aspects we now see evidence in the human experience. Also, reincarnation comes online at these higher levels. And beyond there comes universal knowledge and eventually oneness consciousness, which I've discussed before. This is the spectrum of quantum hologram resonance depicted in this paper by Dr. Edgar Mitchell. Now, previously on this podcast, I've discussed the obvious clear bias and prejudice in mainstream science when it comes to these kind of topics. Mainstream science does its darndest to avoid the UFO phenomenon topic, both for conscious and unconscious reasons. And Dr. Edgar Mitchell addresses this bias, this prejudice, in this paper. And I want to quote from a section here where he discusses Dean Radin and his experimental results. Quote, "The lack of an existing theoretical structure in classical science to support any type of perception of non-local information, much less to support bias, belief, or intention as having a non-local effect, is quite sufficient to account for anomalous results in many scientific experiments. The prevailing dogma of classical science against any type of non-local action at the level of macro-scale reality has not prevented experiments from successfully being conducted. It has sometimes caused positive results to be dismissed as anomalous, of faulty design, or outright fraud, when in most of these cases the results were defensible had proper non-local theory been available," unquote. And now I'd like to quote from a section where he discusses Radin's results specifically. Quote, "Radin, 2006, describes a series of experiments conducted in the latter half of the 20th century on a whole range of psychic phenomena that suggests that experimenters are obtaining far more correlations than can be expected by chance. This was done by performing meta-analyses for random number generators, studies subjected to psychokinesis intention, which resulted with the odds against chance of 35 trillion to 1 over the entire database." And what this section of the paper is basically getting at is that the experimental results found from people like Radin clearly violate the notions in mainstream science. The mechanistic, materialistic model cannot account for these kinds of results. And so often what happens, as was discussed earlier, is the results are just ignored, dismissed, or considered to be fraudulent even. That's how far these scientists will go to dismiss this data, because it violates their worldview, basically. But a model of reality like is depicted with this quantum hologram theory put forward by Edgar Mitchell can make sense of this. It can describe a way that human beings and other entities can resonate with information at the quantum hologram and access this kind of information and actually change reality itself. And again, thinking back to the outset of this podcast, when we talked about the astounding technology and conscious capabilities of these others, think about what we're discussing here. Think about what a civilization that can resonate at a very high level with this quantum hologram, imagine what they could do when this is basically a way to hack into reality itself. That's basically what's being postulated by Mitchell here. And really, hack is the wrong term there. That's too crude. We live in a participatory universe that is highly conscious throughout. That's basically what's being described here. And that beings, to different levels, depending on their level of consciousness, can interact and change reality itself. This is the way the universe is designed. And again, getting back to an earlier part of this discussion, think about angels, demons, think about celestial figures, think about gods depicted in our religious texts. Well, again, to different degrees, different species that might have begun as physical creatures just like us may have very well evolved to the point where they resonate at such high levels that they appear godlike to creatures such as us. And now, moving on from Dr. Edgar Mitchell, I'd like to move on to the work of Dr. Rudy Shield. Of course, Rudy Shield was a close companion of Dr. Edgar Mitchell, knew him for many years, and was a co-founder, along with people like Ray Hernandez, of the Free Foundation, which is now CCRI. And in case you're not familiar, CCRI stands for the Consciousness and Contact Research Institute. And by the way, they have a new book coming out in a couple months called A Greater Reality. And this is the follow-up to Beyond UFOs that, of course, included the famous experiencer research study that we discussed in an earlier podcast. Now, I'd like to touch on some very interesting, compelling things that Dr. Rudy Shield said to Ray Hernandez in an interview. One of the things he said regarding quantum information was that, quote, "The description of mass is more important than the mass itself. It is more enduring," unquote. He also said, quote, "We've always known something about our universe that it appears to have cosmic memory," unquote. So again, this touches on what we discussed before with Edgar Mitchell's work, the idea that quantum information basically is the reference level of the physical structure of our universe. And it's more important that you have that, because that can always create, can manifest the 3D reality. What you need is the quantum information. This is what's more enduring. And this is actually what is contained inside black holes. But Rudy Shield goes further. He says black holes are often misunderstood, even in astrophysics. He likes to use the term MECOs, which stands for magnetically eternally collapsing objects. So basically, Rudy Shield believes that what we consider black holes, what we commonly call black holes, are better described as MECOs. And very interestingly, he says these MECOs, these black holes, are basically portals between our physical universe, our physical space, and a pure quantum internal space. That is to say, on the exterior of a black hole, you have the physical universe, what we exist in. And on the interior of the black hole, beyond the event horizon, you have, quote, "quantum internal space that has no physical structure," unquote. And he goes on to say, quote, "There, quantum fields merge around doing very compressed and complex things," unquote. And then he adds, very interestingly, quote, "and only a cosmic intelligence could affect and influence them," unquote. So yes, indeed, Dr. Rudy Shield, an astrophysicist at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, is postulating that there is a central universal intelligence, a god, if you like, but avoid the baggage, will you? And that this central intelligence, this cosmic intelligence, interacts with the physical structure and the beings of each universe within the multiverse through these black hole objects by manipulating the quantum level of information that manifests in the physical universes that we experience. In a way, you can think about this quantum information that exists in a non-physical state. It's just descriptive information inside the black hole on the interior as the programming level, the code of reality, if you will. And again, getting back to what we talked about earlier, both we as human beings and alien species can interact with this quantum information by resonating with it. But then perhaps you ask, how does that happen exactly? What is the medium for this interaction between us and the quantum hologram? Well, here it's postulated that it's the zero-point energy field that was put forth by Hal Puthoff. And for those of you not familiar, the zero-point energy field is postulated as existing throughout the cosmos, that actually, contrary to former opinion, space is actually not mostly empty, but is actually filled with a zero-point energy. It's pulsating, vibrating with power. And actually, people like Hal Puthoff have been trying to find ways to pull that energy as a source that would be limitless, basically, and completely free. And to clarify, because this is the axis of quantum information, the entangled aspects of our cosmos, that's why it is instantaneous. And that actually our consciousness, which is passed on through waves, consciousness waves, basically, can instantaneously contact its non-local source, which is within these black hole objects, these MECOs. In other words, our consciousness does not reside within our brain, as modern science would have you believe, but it is actually held non-locally inside these black hole objects, and we access this quantum information. That's what makes us, us. And again, it's not just our consciousness that's held within these black hole objects, these MECOs, but all consciousnesses, all memories from every sentient being that has ever existed throughout time and space. So again, this explains all sorts of phenomena we've been discussing on this podcast. Remote viewing, telekinesis, telepathy. All of this is possible because it's about resonating with information, quantum information, within these black hole objects. And it exists there eternally, all of it. That even explains why we can sometimes understand the thoughts of others, and why these alien species who resonate at much higher levels than us can apparently access all information about us, about our history, even about our future. And in terms of the teleportation of these apparently huge spacecraft that we discussed in the outset of this episode, well, clearly we understand how that could work with this quantum resonance. That basically you are manipulating the descriptive quantum level of the spacecraft. And at that quantum level, of course, it has no mass. It's basically the code behind reality referencing that spacecraft. And when it manifests suddenly in front of your home, then it takes on physical structure. It transforms from a quantum possibility to a physical structure in our universe. And to us, that appears almost instantaneous. So what do you think about these ideas? I personally think they are fascinating and so much more compelling than the reality described by mainstream scientific materialism. And most importantly, I think these ideas get us much closer to what is really real, much closer to the base reality of an interconnected, conscious universe. And on that note, we've come to the close of another edition of the Point of Convergence podcast. Let's keep this conversation going and growing. If you know others who would be interested in these topics, please let them know so they can tune in next week as we continue this fascinating conversation. But until then, from deep within the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina, this is Exoacademian signing out.